So good to see everybody this morning. I want to start this morning in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Just had this out and ready to go here. Matthew chapter 6. I think that one of the biggest problems that we have in our society today and even among ourselves as God's people, as Christians, is our priorities. Sometimes we get our priorities mixed up. It's not always sin and error. It's not always doing the wrong thing. It's just putting something else in front of what we know is most important. Our priorities are based on the value that we place on things. If something, we give something a great value, then it becomes top priority. It goes to the top of the list. And as something moves down our list in our minds, maybe even subconsciously sometimes, it moves down our list of priority because it's at the moment anyway, it seems to be less important to us. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we read Jesus speaking here. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that's what we want to look at. What do we do in that verse? What's the activity in that verse? It's to seek. To seek, according to Strong's, is to look for, to seek out, to try to obtain, to desire to possess or to strive for. And Vines adds to that to endeavor. And in the scripture we find two more examples where that same word is used, the same Greek word, in John chapter 7, 19 and 20. Jesus says, he's talking to the Pharisees, he says, why go ye about to kill me? Go about. That's the same word is used there for the seeking in the Greek. In John 16 and verse 19, Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, "Do ye inquire among yourselves?" He asked them a question, and they didn't know the answer to it, so they looked to one another for the reason. They looked to one another for the proper response. They were questioning within themselves. They're seeking, searching for that answer. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be seeking to go after something, not to wait for it to come to us. We're not, the gospel is not forced on us or pushed on us. You know, it's not a feeling that we have, but it's a reasoning process. Faith comes by hearing in Romans 10 and verse 17. We seek to hear. We seek to read and to study and to find out what God wants us to do, what God wants us to be. That's how we learn about God. When we seek, when we desire to know what He wants for our lives, then we study it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, I think this is a more powerful statement saying the same thing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus says, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're talking about seeking, searching, endeavoring to find something. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a craving. It's something that you have to have. You can't live without it. You can't go on unless you have it. Are we eagerly and earnestly striving for the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Are we searching for it? Are we willing to do anything, to sacrifice anything in our lives for it, to find what we seek? And what are we seeking? We're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Daniel had a dream in Daniel chapter 7 of four beasts. And he saw one. At the end of that dream, he saw one like the Son of Man who was given dominion and a kingdom, and that dominion was to be everlasting. And the kingdom shall not be destroyed. In verse 27 of Daniel chapter 7, we read that it's an everlasting kingdom. That's a kingdom that we're seeking. Exodus 15, 16, and 17, you remember the Israelites. Actually, turn back there. Exodus chapter 15. The Israelites, they've been delivered from Egypt. And and they're wandering through the wilderness. And in Exodus 15, verse 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Now, 3 days is a long time to go with no water. So what did they do, of course? They, in verse 24, they started to murmur against Moses. What are we going to drink? And, of course, the Lord gave to Moses the power to turn the water, the bitter water, into sweet water. And they could drink. And again, in chapter 16, in verse 1, they took their journey from Elim, and the congregation of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. And they didn't have anything to eat. They didn't have anything to drink. The end of verse 3, we read, the children of Israel again, they're murmuring again, for ye have brought us forth in this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. What was their problem? They were focusing on physical things. God delivered them from the Egyptians, delivered them from Pharaoh, and saved their lives. Delivered them from slavery and was taking them to a promised land. And all they could think about was the physical things in their life. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, you know, they say the same thing again. Wherefore, you've brought us up out of Egypt to kill our children and our cattle with thirst. You brought us out, you've delivered us, but now we don't have anything. Well, what did God do? God took care of them. God took care of them. They had their eyes on the physical things of this life and not on the spiritual things that God provided for them. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, we read, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus recounting as he was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, recounting Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's how we live. That's how we're filled when we're hungry. We live by every word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus says again, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Are we seeking the kingdom of God? Are we seeking His righteousness? We need to seek the rule of God in our hearts. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And when He, that is Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. They're looking for a physical kingdom. They're looking for a castle on a hill with great lands around it, and knights in physical armor, riding physical horses, carrying physical swords, and a land with physical borders. That's the kind of kingdom they're looking for. He says it doesn't come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, or among you. It's within yourselves. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's how we live. That's how we live in the Spirit. I've heard it said that inside of every heart, inside the heart of every man is a cross and a throne. And if we're seeking His kingdom, and if we're seeking His righteousness, then we put ourselves on the cross and we put Christ on the throne. But if we're not seeking His righteousness, we're not seeking His kingdom, if we're seeking to please ourselves, then what do? We put ourselves on the throne and we put Christ on the cross. There's Scripture to back that up. We need to seek His righteousness, not only His kingdom, but His righteousness. God's got a plan for making men righteous. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Scripture that's very familiar to all of us, I'm sure. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the power of God revealed, is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, that is, it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's how we find God's righteousness. It's in the gospel. It has the power of salvation. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans 3 and verse 20, Paul writes, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now is the righteousness of God without the law manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all sinned, but God's got a plan for making us righteous. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, going right along with what we just read. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 2. By whom also, by Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. He writes, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, or under grace through faith. So sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Now it's not just some abstract grace, I'm under grace and I can't do anything wrong. It's a law of grace. We're not under the, when it says we're not under the law, we're talking about the law of Moses. We've got to bear that in mind. And we're going to talk about the law of grace here in a moment. "But you're not under the law, but under grace, so don't sin." Verse 15, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Whoever you're obeying, whoever you're following, that's who you make your master. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." You used to be the servants of sin, but yet that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that form of teaching, that pattern, that doctrine which was delivered you. "Being then, after you've obeyed, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." We're still under a law. It's a different law. It's a law of grace. It's a law of righteousness, but we're a servant of that law. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." That's where we want to be, in Christ Jesus. "Who walk," as David was talking about this morning, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It's not just having the Spirit and being persuaded that once you've got the Spirit, you can do no wrong. You've got to walk after the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." We're definitely under a law. Romans chapter 10, in verse 1, we find a different kind of righteousness. Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." God has a pattern of righteousness. He's got a way to make us right. We find how man was made in Scripture. In Genesis 1, 27, God made man in His own image. In the image of God created him. Not sinful. In Ecclesiastes 7, in verse 29. Ecclesiastes 7, in verse 29. You know, Ecclesiastes, most people think it was written by Solomon. I don't know one way or another. I've got my opinion, but it doesn't really matter. It's part of the Bible. And that's what really counts here. Ecclesiastes was definitely written by certainly a wise individual. And all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, he's talking about vanity. All of life is vanity. Everything you do It's just vanity. And you get to the end of it, and he tells us what it's all about. But in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, he says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." We were created upright. We were created righteously. "God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." We always want to go our own way. We always want to do our own thing, don't we? And we've got to stop and we've got to think, this isn't God's way. This isn't what God wants for me. I've got to seek out God's righteousness. You remember back in Isaiah chapter 53, the song that we sang before the lesson. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning at verse 3, Isaiah prophesying about the death of the Messiah. What was the reason for that death? Isaiah 53 and verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's why he died. That's why he gave his life. For our sin, for our transgression. And we must seek his righteousness above everything else in this material world. This material world is what we put above him, isn't it? We're talking about God's righteousness. Turn to John chapter 6. It never ceases to amaze me the reason that some join a church, some associate themselves with a given congregation of people who claim to be worshiping God. Some join for the coffee and the donuts. Some join for the soup suppers. Some join because they've got an opportunity to make a charitable tax write-off. Jesus fed 5,000 people in John chapter 6. And he went to the other side of the sea. Of course, that was when he walked on the water. And the next day, in John chapter 6 and verse 25, the next day those 5,000 came looking for him. John 6 and 25, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." That's the reason that some people choose to claim to follow Christ. "You're not following me because of the miracles, but because you got your stomachs filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Matthew chapter 6, just before our text, in verse 19 through 21, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth." It's not about physical things. His kingdom is not of this world. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Ecclesiastes, again, back in chapter 5. Again, we're talking about vanity here. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?" You stand back and you've got all of these possessions, and you stand back and you say, "Wow, look what I got. so what? What good does it do? The sleep of a laboring man. Talking about laboring for the meat that doesn't perish. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Talking about vanity, the end of this book, he goes through, the writer goes through, and he talks about choosing wisdom and obedience to authority. He talks about making the best of this life, and he talks about the wise man and the fool and the investment of a life and the span of a life, and then finally we get to the end of it. He says in chapter 12 and verse 8, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." And you get down to verse 13 and he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Of all the subject matter that we've been talking about, it's all vanity. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is the whole duty of man. It's what we've been placed here for. For God shall bring every work into judgment, in verse 14, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's going to come a day that He's going to judge. We need to be ready for that day. We need to seek His kingdom. We need to seek His righteousness. And He gives us a place to seek it. He says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye when? First the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's got to be the top priority in our lives. And that's evident in the text in Matthew chapter 6, our food and our clothing. Let's back up and read all of that. Matthew 6, let's start at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. Look at this. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? You make yourself taller? Can't happen. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't worry about anything, they just grow. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not the physical things of this life that we need to be seeking. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, or profiteth a little, profiteth for a while. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That's what's profitable, godliness. Living righteously, living after the example, the pattern that's set before us through the gospel of Christ. It must be above and before our dearest relationships. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Are you going to take that cross in your heart? Are you going to put Christ on the throne? Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Jesus says again, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land, forsaking those things, for for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And what's the incentive out of all of this in Matthew chapter 6? It's the blessings that we have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those are the blessings. That's the incentive for seeking God and seeking His righteousness. All these things, what are these things in the context? Is it boats and cars and airplanes and motorcycles? Jewelry? All these things, the daily necessities of life. The things that we really need. God takes care of the birds. They don't plant. They don't harvest. He takes care of them. He'll take care of us. Psalm chapter 34, verses 8 through 10. Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. Says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. There is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We might still want stuff, but we're not going to want the good stuff. The things that we actually need, the things that are necessities of our life, we're not going to want those things. We're not going to need those things because if we trust in the Lord, He's going to provide those things. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And that's where we want to be, is in Christ. In Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we get into Christ. How do we get into His kingdom in Colossians 1? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Actually in verse 12 Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's where we want to be. We want to seek His kingdom. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, His Son, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of His sins. Is His blood the end of the story? If His blood's the end of the story, then His blood was shed for all mankind, then everybody's going to be saved. So it's more than just His blood. We can't do it without His blood. But our obedience has to be a part of that. We must reach that blood in Romans 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. That's how we reach that blood. You're seeking to be in the kingdom of God this morning. You've got to hear. If you're seeking, then you need to hear. Because faith comes by hearing. And you need to believe, because without faith it's impossible to please God, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6 this morning. Without faith it's impossible to please God. You've got to repent of the sins of your own life. You've got to confess Christ Jesus as the Son of God. You've got to be immersed in water for the remission of your own sins, because Jesus Himself requires it. You can be in Christ. You can be in the everlasting kingdom. You can be made righteous through His blood and through your obedience this morning. And if you're in that kingdom and you're not yet still seeking to put Him first in your lives, I hope that you're very uncomfortable after hearing this lesson. We've got to seek Him first. We've got to seek to put Him first in our lives. To remain in that kingdom. And we've got to seek out His righteousness as long as we live on this earth. That's what really counts. That's what's important in this life. If there's any way that we can help you become a member of the kingdom this morning, if you've fallen away and there's any way that we can help you come back to being a servant in that kingdom, to serving the King as one of His royal subjects. If there's any way that we can help you, let us know as we stand and sing together.